Good morning, Philly fans. Welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back to hang out with you guys for another half hour here this morning. If you woke up this morning and if you made your coffee and floated around a hilarious trade idea to your significant other or your kids or whatever, you've pretty much done as much as Dave Dombrowski has at this trade deadline. I talked 2 weeks ago about how the winter meetings were starting, and I thought that the Phillies would make some moves. And granted, the winter meetings is not the entire part of free agency. There is still 2.5 months until the season starts, or 3 months really until the season starts. And there's a lot of time for Dombrowski to still make moves, and there's still a lot of guys out there that if he wants to make a move, he can make a move. But up to this point, I mean, it's been Jordan Romano on a one-year deal, and that's really been the only thing that the Phillies have done throughout the entirety of free agency thus far. I thought the winter meetings would fire up Dombrowski a little bit. I would have thought that some moves were going to get made if the Phillies were going to go out and they were going to get any sort of player. At this point in free agency, I thought that it was going to happen last week. Did not happen. They are still just sitting on Jordan Romano. Obviously, we talked last week about how Juan Soto went to the Mets, and there really hasn't been a ton of free agency stuff of note. I mean, Willie Adames went to the Giants, but in terms of massive contracts and superstar players going places, I mean, Juan Soto is really the biggest one and the only one I would say that really broke ground in baseball right now. So I guess the Phillies aren't technically, I mean, Kyle Tucker did get traded to the Cubs, not a free agency move, but it was a big trade move. And that was a guy that I would have loved for the Phillies to go out there and try and get, for reasons that I'll explain in a little bit. But the Phillies reportedly offered Nick Castellanos and Alec Bohm for Kyle Tucker, a deal that Dombrowski had to have known was not going to work, right? Like, I don't think he actually thought the Astros would bite on that offer, and having Castellanos replace Tucker and having Bohm, I guess, replace Bregman. I guess in theory it could make some sense, but the Astros aren't stupid enough to think that those two guys are upgrades at the positions that the guys previously held those down. You know, Kyle Tucker is miles better than Nick Castellanos, and I think Alex Bregman is a better player than Alec Bohm. So Dombrowski had to have known that was not going to go through, right? That was not going to go and that was not going to happen. Okay. Then there's reports that the A's are inquiring about Alec Bohm, and they're calling up. They want to hear from Dombrowski as to what he would command if he's going to give away Alec Bohm. And Dombrowski asks for Mason Miller for Alec Bohm. Now, this is exactly how I look at this, right? I can't actually imagine that Dombrowski thinks Bohm for Miller is a good trade. I think, and it's part of what Rob Thompson said when the winter meeting started, they're not shopping Alec Bohm. Maybe they were for Garrett Crochet. You know, they really thought that throwing him in a deal with Justin Crawford and a couple of other minor leaguers was going to be enough to sweeten the pot to get Garrett Crochet from the White Sox. But as we saw, that wasn't the case. The White Sox were not going to bite on that. The White Sox kind of scoffed at you and said, no, we have other trade candidates, you know, other trade partners that we'll take this deal up with. We're not going to go for what the offer is that you're giving us. And I think after that, the Phillies basically said, okay, you know what? Then we're not going to shop Alec Bohm anymore. We're not going to go and seriously consider offers for this guy. That was the one where we would. It's gotten out there. Everybody knows that we were trying to shop Alec Bohm for Garrett Crochet, but now that is not going to happen, we're no longer going to shop him. So Rob Thompson comes out and says, you know, we're not shopping Alec Bohm. This has been overblown. I talked to Alec. You know, we're listening on offers, but we're not shopping him. Well, then that means you're shopping him if you're listening on offers, right? And I know, like, if a team called up to the Phillies and said we would like Bryce Harper, the Phillies would turn the phone off and hang up right away. You're not listening on, if you're listening on offers on somebody, you are willing to part ways with them. You are willing to include them in a deal. You are shopping them in the literal sense of, you know, what shopping a player is. You might not be the one making the first initial phone call, which even then I think is foolish. I think the Phillies were absolutely making the first phone call, trying anything to get rid of Alec Bohm for a little bit of time. Didn't happen. But now they're kind of trying to backtrack, and you've come to the realization, if you're Dombrowski and Phillies brass, that you're probably going to have Alec Bohm as your third baseman next year. And you don't, you know, you can't have Alec Bohm be, you know, upset, or have Alec Bohm feel slighted, or have him feel like he's not a player that the Phillies really wanted to keep. And so now you try and backtrack, and now you try and make the excuse of, well, we were never actually shopping you to begin with. Don't listen to all the reports out there. You know, it's fake news, fake, you know, the media is lying, whatever. You know, if Alec Bohm has a brain, he knows that that's not true. he knows that the Phillies absolutely were trying to move him. It just didn't work out. And now it's about how he reacts to that. Now, Alec Boehm has been a guy for the last couple of years who gets mad every time he gets out, right? He's the kid that would, if he makes an out, he's throwing his helmet, slamming it down. He's not happy. He's very angry. He might take it out into the field. He might not take it out into the field. But regardless, now he's going to have this looming over his head as well. Now he has to look at this and say to himself, okay, well, now I'm not even wanted here. I already said I bleep and hate this place 3 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, this team doesn't even want me here anymore. You know, how is he going to respond to that? I'm nervous for that. I think it's interesting. But whether or not that matters in the Alec Boehm head, or, you know, his realm of what's going on with the Phillies, remains to be seen. But it's not a good look for the Phillies, in my opinion, and it's not something that's ideal for a team that really hasn't done a single thing in the offseason this year. Didn't do a single thing in the postseason either. They haven't done anything in the offseason to make your roster better, to compete with the teams that are directly around you to this point. I will keep reiterating, to this point. There is still a long time in free agency and in this offseason for the Phillies to go out and make moves. I mean, Bryce Harper wasn't signed until what? Yeah, end of February, beginning of March, whatever it was. Probably the end of February. Maybe it was the beginning. I think it might have been the beginning of March, though. I mean, it's been a long time that Harper was in free agency. And Alex Bregman could be the same way. Pete Alonso could be the same way. Now, Pete Alonso is not somebody that I see the Phillies going after. I would love it if they did, because I would love if the Phillies would move Bryce Harper back to the outfield, you know, get him off of first base. And I get it. Bryce Harper has been a great first baseman. You know, there's been no reason to complain about anything that Bryce Harper's done since his move to first base. It would not be because he hasn't played first base well enough. It would just be the fact that you could get other guys onto your team and have Harper go back to the outfield, maybe remove Nick Castellanos, something like that. So I would love it if they would move him back to the outfield. They're not going to, but regardless, you know, a guy like Pete Alonso would be somebody that I would love. First off, it would take him away from the Mets. He wouldn't have to worry about Pete Alonso killing you for another 10 years on the 10-year deal he's probably going to eventually sign somewhere. I mean, Alonso's going to get a big deal. And I say all this to say, you know, again, it's not going to happen. Pete Alonso's not going to be a Philly, but it would be nice if the Phillies wouldn't have Bryce Harper necessarily locked into first base and you can have him go back to the outfield. I mean, he got the surgery on his arm. You have to imagine that his arm is okay to throw now. You would have some flexibility in your lineup, have some flexibility with your defense if you didn't have him at first base, because now you're kind of stuck with Castellanos in right field. They did not go out and try and get a left fielder. I mean, you know, Juan Soto was the obvious guy that they could have tried to go out and get, but he's getting over $765 million. Not going to happen. You know, so they're basically stuck with what they were at last year. You know, and Alec Boehm for Alex Bregman, don't really see that happening where they're going to, you know, trade Alec Boehm and then sign Alex Bregman. I don't see that happening. And what I really think the Phillies are thinking right now is I think Dombrowski is kind of content with letting this offseason ride out and having Alec Boehm be your third baseman for another year or two, and then having Aiden Miller come up and kind of fill that void and take over that third base role. And that is a nerve-wracking position to be in. And by the way, I think the Phillies will get some contributions from their rookies this year, because I think Andrew Painter is going to have an opportunity to pitch in this rotation. How many innings remains to be seen? He's probably not going to be on the opening day roster. He might be, but I think it's more likely that Andrew Painter comes up midseason and then makes an impact that way once June, July. I mean, it depends on where the Phillies are in the season. If all of a sudden the Phillies are terrible and, you know, their record in the end of May is not great, maybe they panic and try and bring somebody up to ignite something, especially if that fifth spot in the rotation is not good, because you might have Taiwan Walker still be in that spot. It's probably where it's heading right now. Taiwan Walker is going to be your fifth starter. You've got Noel, you've got Wheeler, you've got Sanchez, you've got Ranger. Ranger, by the way, who just became a Scott Boras client. That happened the other day. So he's looking for some money when he hits free agency after the 2025 season. But you're probably going to have Walker, as of right now, slot into that fifth spot. And I remember, you know, at the end of the season, they talked about how Taiwan was going to go down to the spring training complex, or he was going to go down to Florida in the offseason, and he was going to work on his pitching. He was going to work on trying to gain more command and really work on his pitches and this and that. And it does not matter when it comes to Taiwan Walker. We know what the guy is. He's a terrible pitcher. You know, you can't for a third straight year have that guy be your number five in the rotation. You just can't. And I know that the five spot in the rotation is not something that you're supposed to have an ace at. I get it. But he is an abomination. It's like having a position player go take the mound every fifth day when he's out there. I mean, that's how bad it is when Taiwan Walker's on the mound. So I think that if there was an instance where, God forbid, they're not very good come May or June, you know, you might see Andrew Painter come up a little bit earlier. That would probably be, in my opinion, what's going to happen. What's going to be most likely to happen is you have him come up mid-season, but look, that's all remaining to be seen. And then once the season rolls around, we'll kind of cross that bridge when we get to it. But what I think is interesting about Alec Bowman, what I was just mentioning earlier, is there's a real chance that Dombrowski sits on his hands and doesn't do really anything for that position in the offseason. You kind of roll with Alec Bowman, assume that he's going to be that guy. And then you bring up Aiden Miller in a year or 2 years, and you kind of try to slot him in at that third base spot and have him get acclimated to the big leagues and become part of the major league roster. I think that's more likely what Dombrowski is doing and what the Phillies are doing. They don't want to go sign Alex Bregman for 7 years when Aiden Miller is going to be ready in two. You know, they don't want to have to commit to somebody for a very long period. And Bregman did say that he'd be willing to play second base. I don't see that happening. I think he's a third baseman. You know, he can say he's willing to play second base. I think he's going to be a third baseman at the start of this season. I don't think he's going to play second. But instead of committing to somebody for 7 years, like I mentioned, when you have a guy waiting in the wings who's ready to come up in two or a year and a half or whatever, I don't think they want to do that. And I think Alec Bohm kind of fits that mold of a guy where you're still not exactly sure if you're sold on him. You're not exactly sure if he's the guy that you want to keep rolling with at third base for a long period of time. Maybe you just want to have him as kind of a placeholder. And then you wait and see what happens with Aiden Miller. And you wait and see if a trade package comes up where you can make your major league roster immediately better. And maybe you deal him there, and then you have to deal with Alec Bohm versus somebody else at third base. Or maybe that never does happen, and you have him, and you don't want to deal him. He's an untouchable kind of guy, and you want to make sure that he's ready to go when the time comes, when you can kind of move him right on into that position. Now, that creates risk, of course. And I talked, I talked during the season this year for a long time, and it's very easy to say this when you are the best team in baseball for a long period of time last season, even though I didn't necessarily feel like they were playing like one. For a large part of the 2024 season, the Phillies were the best team in baseball. And it was easy to say this then, that you felt the team was already good enough and there wasn't a whole lot they needed to do in order to get better, that I was not willing to shop any of their young prospects. I was not willing to move an Aiden Miller or a Justin Crawford or an Andrew Painter or anybody. And the Phillies farm system, by the way, is not one quite yet where you're able to just deal whoever as a prospect to make your major league roster immediately better, and you know that you're going to be okay. That's not how their roster is right now in the minor leagues. There is still it's a little bit barren in some spots, and you want to make sure that you hold on to the guys that you think are stars. And I kept saying during the season, especially, that, you know, you plug these young guys in, you have them come up when Schwarber's contract's up, or when Alec Bohm needs to be moved on from, or when Nick Castellanos is ready to go out the door, or you don't truly believe in Johan Rojas. Maybe I'll get to him in a couple of minutes. I hate thinking about Johan Rojas being this team's opening day center fielder. But regardless, you know, then you can plug in a guy like Justin Crawford, and you can hope that he can take the steps necessary to be ready to be a good big league player when he's brought up and continue to grow with the team and kind of be like a Jackson Chourio for the Brewers. But, and I don't mean necessarily matching the level of play that Chourio had, but just being a big contributor to the major league squad on a team that's ready to compete, on a team that's been competing for a number of years now, a team that is good enough to be in the postseason year in and year out. And even though the Phillies have not made any moves and the Phillies are basically the same team that they have been for the previous 3 years, they're still a postseason team. They are still a team that is going to probably make the playoffs. I'll touch on that in a little bit, kind of look around the National League and see who I think might have a better record than the Phillies. But, you know, could they? It's going to be tougher. I'll say that. It's going to be tougher for them to make the playoffs this year, especially with Kyle Tucker going to the Cubs and Juan Soto to the Mets, obviously. Like, there is going to be a tougher path for them to make the playoffs this year. Regardless, I still think they can do it. But, you know, you have young guys come up and fill that void. It's risky because if they don't and they tank and they are not quite the player that you want them to be, then your team is immediately hindered right out of the chute. If Aiden Miller comes up and he can't play, or if Justin Crawford comes up and he's not ready to play at the big league level, and you have basically said we're going to give this guy the job and we're going to hope that he can take it over after Nick Castellanos leaves or a Schwarber leaves. And by the way, I don't think Schwarber's going anywhere anytime soon. I've seen people talk about the fact that Schwarber, you know, his contract's up at the end of this year. They're nervous that he might be gone after this year, or they think that they should just let him walk after this year. I don't see that happening. I don't think there's any way that Kyle Schwarber's gone after this year for the Phillies. He's been so good for the 3 years that he's been here. I saw a stat the other day, which I'm going to try and find, on Kyle Schwarber since he's been a Philly. And it's really insane just how good he's been. So this is since joining the Phillies. In all of Major League Baseball, Kyle Schwarber ranks third in home runs with 131, sixth in RBIs with 302, and fourth in walk percentage at 15.3%. Kyle Schwarber has been far better than what you could have imagined when you signed him to this roster. And you couple that in with the fact that there are the top half of the organization loves him. Dombrowski calls him one of the best clubhouse guys he's ever been around. And I don't doubt that. I think Schwarber probably is a really good clubhouse guy for the Phillies. I lean more towards them re-signing Schwarber than I think they would let him go. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Phillies will try and keep Schwarber here as long as he would like to be here. Kyle Schwarber, I believe Schwarber is 32 or 33 years old. He might actually even be younger than that. Kyle Schwarber, doing some quick math here. So Kyle Schwarber is 31 at the moment. He'll be 32 at the start of the season. You know, he's somebody that you can still have for a couple of more years and probably still has a lot of productivity left in his bat. I mean, his DH at the end of the day, he's not somebody that's going to go out there and play the field. You don't have to worry about his defense not being up to snuff. He's not a guy that plays any defense, right? He's a guy that's strictly on your team for his bat. He is strictly in the lineup for his bat. You don't have to worry about that declining defense with Schwarber, so I don't think that that's a reason to have to move on from him. So I envision Schwarber here for a long time. I think Schwarber will get another contract with the Phillies. I don't think he's going to be gone. But even still, I mean, back to my point on the rookies, you know, those guys filling up like a Castellanos spot or a Bohm spot or a left field or center field if you don't believe in Marsh or Rojas, that's where you need to plug them in at, and that's really where you hope that they're able to make an impact right away, because the guys are only getting older. Bryce Harper's only getting older. Trey Turner's only getting older. You know, JT is going to be an interesting one too. His contract's up at the end of this year. He's 34 years old. Do you really want to have JT to a contract extension, or do you move on? What do you do? There's a lot of questions going into the 25 season that we did not see for the previous three seasons with the Phillies. It was more or less, let's keep running it back with this core. We've got nothing to worry about. These guys are good enough. Let's see what happens. It's a little bit different this year. And we're going to find out a lot of answers sooner rather than later with what we think this team can be in 2025. And I mentioned Johan Rojas a couple of minutes ago. I can't. It takes a lot to get me riled up in the offseason because the Phillies games aren't currently on. So, you know, I'm the fan where, you know, when the Phillies are on, I'm freaking out on game 5 or game 160. It doesn't matter. If the Phillies lose, my mood is significantly affected. And I realize that is a character flaw. Right, I'm not proud of that, but that's how it is, and it stinks. But if you want to get me riled up in the offseason, just trying to imagine Johan Rojas being this team's everyday center fielder. And I know that he wasn't the everyday center fielder last year either. He was a platoon kind of guy. He's going to play versus lefties, and you know Thompson was started playing him versus right-handers too. I can't watch it. I can't. I know he makes great plays defensively out there, and he can make diving catches, and he can close on a ball faster than a lot of people can in baseball. I watch him too many times miss on routine plays, and then at the same time, there is nothing provided to you with the bat in that lineup. And I know that the number one thing people will tell you is, well, if the guys at the top of the order produce, and if the guys that you're paying the big money to are the ones that are able to go and have clutch hits and hit big home runs, it doesn't matter what your nine-hole hitter does. But it does matter when your nine-hole hitter can't get on in front of Kyle Schwarber. And when your nine-hole hitter is consistently coming up with guys on base and not able to get a job done, that does matter. When he is not a good bunter, all of these things factor in. All of these things matter to a baseball club out there where you do need some productivity. You do need a guy who can get on base and be on there for Kyle Schwarber and not be a guy whose on base percentage is below 300. Right? Like that is unacceptable play. You know, Brandon Marsh is a guy that if you want to have him in the nine spot, you know, you don't love it. I don't think Marsh is a great player, but as a nine hole player for a successful baseball team, Brandon Marsh could do it. And Rojas has been playing in a winter league and, you know, trying to work on his swing and make sure that he's better at bunting come 2025 and trying to shorten up the swing. I feel like it's all for naught. I don't think Johan Rojas has anything to contribute to this team other than some pretty flashy plays on defense. But, you know, they were content with going in to the 2024 season with him as their center fielder and saying we think he's going to take the next step, or we think that he is capable enough to play this position and not be a complete anchor on the team. It would be very damning if they go into 2025 with that same mentality. You know, it's like the definition of insanity. You're doing the same thing with expecting a different result. I don't think that's anywhere near happening. And I don't think that it's a smart idea for the Phillies if they were to roll with Johan Rojas in center field for a second consecutive year. Now, like I mentioned, I wanted to look around the National League East here, or the National League, I should say, as we round out, and just kind of look at who's the Phillies' competition for making the playoffs this year. Again, there haven't been a ton of moves made. You know, the Mets signed Juan Soto. The Brewers did trade Devin Williams, their closer, to the Yankees. So a questionable decision there. Not exactly sure why they did that. I don't know why you would want to trade away your closer, who's been one of the best in baseball for a long time, but they did. So the Brewers, in theory, got a little bit worse. The Braves did not re-sign Max Fried, but the Braves also have pitchers come up and become amazing in the span of 5 months. So you know that there's somebody waiting in the wings to overtake that spot. They're going to get Schrader back. They're going to get Acuna back. I think they're going to be good. So if you, just in the National League East, the Mets and the Braves are going to be very good. Steve Cohen's going to spend money. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes out and tries to sign a Corbin Burns or somebody like that. He knows that they need pitching. He's going to go out and put his money where his mouth is. I think Washington will be a little bit better. I thought they were going to be okay last year, and they weren't. They really flopped and were not a good enough team last year. Now, I think that they are going to put some pieces around what they have currently in free agency. I wouldn't be shocked if the Nationals make a splashier move that we haven't seen from them in a long time. You know, it's been a while since the Nats have done anything in free agency to bring somebody in. I think they're going to be a candidate for trying to make that team better and trying to make a playoff push. It's been a while for them, and I think that they are capable of being a better team, especially this year. I thought they were going to be better last year, but this year especially. Now, the Marlins are still going to be at the basement. There's no doubt about that. I don't see the Marlins doing anything more than a 50-60 win season. But, I mean, if you go to the NL Central, which was one of the more disappointing divisions in the National League last year, the Cubs, who did finish above 500, but were kind of, you know, in a funk all year, they never really had any sort of chance to make it. They go out and they get Kyle Tucker. There's a real reason to believe that the Cubs are going to be better in 2025 than they were in 2024. The Reds were a team that I think a lot of people had as a potential team to win that division with the way that they ended 2023. Did not happen. They completely fell apart and were never in part of the race for the entire season last year. I think they'll be potentially better. So right now, I mean, I would put two teams ahead of the Phillies and just the Braves and the Mets. I wouldn't put the Cubs or the Reds over them yet, but they're closer. Brewers, they won that division. I still see the Brewers as a good team, even though they dealt away their closer. They have young talent. They are a smart-run organization. Although they don't pay anybody anything, they know how to get talent in there. I think they'll be good. Pittsburgh and St. Louis, I'm not worried about. I don't think either of those two. I mean, I think St. Louis will be better than they were last year, and I think Pittsburgh maybe will be better. You know, you'll get a full year of Paul Skeens, but Pittsburgh is just ultimately doesn't have enough talent right now to do anything. Arizona, who missed out on the playoffs last year by having the same record as the Mets and Braves, but not winning the tiebreaker. And they're the Phillies, you know, kryptonite. Obviously, we all know that. They're a team you got to look out for, and one that I would assume would be in postseason contention. Now, Christian Walker has been on the free agency wire. Teams are looking to try and sign him. The Yankees are a prime candidate for him. So there's a chance that they lose a little bit of talent, but they still have a lot of speed and a lot of young talent on that roster. Dodgers, enough said. Rockies, enough said. The two terrible teams. Padres are going to be really, really good. Padres have a ton of talent on that team. They just, you know, they have the young talent. They have the guys that they've gone out and gotten in free agency that have been really good. They're going to be a team that can compete for a World Series. And then the Giants signing Willy Adames, but not a whole lot that I think of when it comes to the Giants. I don't think that they're a team that you really have to worry about. So teams that are ahead of the Phillies, in my opinion, Atlanta, the Mets, potentially Arizona, the Dodgers, and San Diego. That's five teams that, give or take, could finish with a better record than the Phillies, could be a team that could leapfrog you in the wild card standings. Now, there's a chance that teams get injured and not all that happens. But again, it's the point being, this is more of a wild card roster for the Phillies than it is a division winner. Last year was kind of an exception to that rule because of the fact the Braves were injured and the Mets got off to a terrible start. But I think it's more of a wild card roster for them in 2025, and it's not really the position you want to be in after having won the division just the year prior in 2024. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Hope everybody has a great rest of your week. Keep your fingers crossed that David Dombrowski wakes up and does anything in free agency in the next week or so. Don't bank on it happening, but until then, have a great rest of your week, everybody. I'll talk next week.